I'm Jason Michael Perry, man with three first names, and this is Thoughts on Tech and Things. Today, we're doing a special episode on the Consumer Electronics Show for 2026. It's January, which means me and the Perry Labs team have made our annual pilgrimage to the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, otherwise known as CES. This is my seventh time attending. Well, seven times, I can't believe it. And I love this show. It's a place where you can see big technology companies and big brands like NVIDIA, Samsung, and Lenovo all get a chance to talk about the tech that's going to be important this year. But it also showcases interesting ideas from smaller businesses from all over the world. This comes together to give you a pulse of the technology industry and a feel for what crazy ideas just may stick on a wall and become a thing that all of us flock to buy. And when you come every year like I do, you start to see these ideas evolve year over year. They inch closer after every visit, and they start to become something that you really want in your pocket or in your house or in your business. So today we're gonna dig into what we saw at CES with some commentary and interviews. We're gonna start with the Consumer Technology Association, or CTA. These are the folks who put on the CES conference. And we're gonna talk about what they're seeing as mega trends to look for in 2026. From there, we're gonna dig into NVIDIA's keynote. We're gonna talk robotics, and man, there were a lot of robotics, life sciences and health, and Maryland's role at CES. And I also have something a little fun at the end for you. So let's get into it. On the Sunday before the show, Brian Kromsky, the Senior Director of Innovation and Trends at CTI, took the stage to talk about the major trends we should expect to see across the show floor. Having walked easily 41,000 steps across Las Vegas, I can say that these trends largely held true. Brian categorized these big trends into three buckets: longevity, intelligent transformation, and engineering tomorrow. Longevity might sound like a weird thing that you would hear at a technology conference, but as you'll hear in some of the interviews and clips later on in this podcast, medical technology that's coming today is working hard to monitor everything that you do so that way it can provide early interventions or give you the potential to know about ailments before they happen. Another big concept is this idea of intelligent transformation. I like to think of this as the AI-ing of everything. And when I say that, AI is now in everything, and I mean everything. This was on full display at CES. If there was a thing that could have AI in it, even a thing that didn't make sense to have AI in it, there was AI in it. And this was everything, every single product, from toilets to bird feeders. If you name it, there was AI in it. And this is the ability for products to start getting smarter, even products that you may not have thought of. The last thing that Brian mentioned is this idea of engineering tomorrow. And I like to think of this as the ecosystems that we're starting to build, larger systematic tools that come together as technology allows them to do more. You can think of this as the combination of tech that's allowing things like smart farms or autonomous construction to build sites or buildings without humans, and also the ability to have always connected devices everywhere using satellites that are in space. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang took the stage at the first keynote of CES, and one of the trends that he's pushing and NVIDIA's pushing is this convergence of AI with the physical world. Here's a short clip of how he frames it.
One of the biggest, most important one is physical AI, AIs that understand the laws of nature. And then, of course, physical AIs is about AIs interacting with the world, but the world itself has information, encoded information, and that's called AI physics. AI that, in the case of physical AI, you have AI that interacts with the physical world, and you have AI physics, AI that understands the laws of physics.
From here, he went on to talk about the work that NVIDIA is doing across several AI models that will speed along the development of smart systems, including robotics. But he also gave an amazing demonstration of an autonomous vehicle built in partnership with Mercedes-Benz, a car that drove through San Francisco just like you would imagine a Waymo or a Tesla could. I have a feeling that we're going to hear some of the words that he's starting to say, like physical AI, quite a bit in this coming year. Now, if you heard me say that there's one thing that was just an overwhelming thing at CES, it was robots. Robots, robots, robots. I think by the end of our first or second day, we'd easily put eyes on 20 to 30 different robots. Robots were everywhere. And there were robots not only everywhere, but there were robots doing everything that you could possibly imagine. And when I say this, I think it's sometimes important to remember that when we say robots, we're talking about all kinds of things. Roombas or house vacuums, pool cleaners, lawnmowers. But on top of that, there were robots that were fighting each other, battle bots. There were robots folding clothes. There were robots that were playing blackjack, robots playing ping pong. It was obvious that this was a new push in the ability of what could happen. Physical AI for me and the Perry Labs team is the next obvious evolution of technology. As we inch closer to general purpose robots, and that means every house having a robot that helps out with typical tasks. For a lot of us, when you think of robots, you may picture this robot dog called Spot, made by a company called Boston Dynamics. And that seemed like a perfect place to start. I had a chance to talk with Brian Ringley, who's a distinguished product manager with Boston Dynamics. And he talked to me about training robots and some of the industrial bots that they had there on site, including this really amazing new humanoid bot called Atlas. I think this was the first time that they brought it out into the open world.
This is all part of the lineage of the latest wave of AI, which is about machine learning, neural nets. It's about learning versus expert systems or explicit algorithms. We saw the explosion of that in terms of LLMs. And then people realize that we can use those same techniques and apply that with different types of data to physical systems like robots. So now we're starting to see this embodied AI explosion where people are starting to train robots to do these new behaviors. And again, using this learning process so that we don't have to laboriously program things specific task by specific task, but allow the robot to learn more generally to do a much broader range of tasks.
These robots are currently doing industrial work, manufacturing work, consuming cars, as well as whatever other things that you have that they're developing or building?
Yeah, I mean, we've been on the commercialization journey since 2020 with Spot. We have thousands of Spots out in the world. And I think that's really like our biggest advantage is we understand what it takes to build a business with these types of robots. We've also commercialized the Stretch truck unloading robot in the far corner. And now we're looking to do the same with Atlas. And Atlas has been working already in Hyundai facilities for nearly a year. The Metaplan America in Savannah, where it's been doing this actual sequencing operation. Hyundai's helping us learn. They have a lot of facilities where we can bring these robots and train them and perform tasks.
Of course, robots are not just about industrial work. One of the things that we start to see at CES is that robots can do all types of tasks. They can fold clothes, they can be photographers, they can be your barista and make you coffee, or even your bartender. One company to keep an eye on is Richtek Robotics. I caught up with Timothy Tanksley about how they're embracing NVIDIA's platform to help them build physical AI.
I was hoping you could tell us about your partnership with NVIDIA.
Absolutely. We work closely with NVIDIA, and we utilize their technology in our Atom and our DEX robots. These are both dual-arm humanoid robot platforms. They work in different areas. Atom is a commercial robot, so he works in coffee shops, as a barista, boba tea shops. He's also a bartender, like at the Texas Rangers Stadium. He bartends, he makes cocktails and mocktails. And this is DEX. DEX is our newest robot. It's, again, a dual-armed robot platform, but this one is mobile, and he's designed for industrial use, completing tasks in manufacturing, logistics centers, light industrial centers. But the way that we utilize NVIDIA technology is both in the way that we train the robots through simulation using their Isaac Sim. We do also use their hardware. So we're using the latest and greatest, the NVIDIA Jetson Thor, to be able to connect it to cameras, to be able to give these robots the ability to perceive, understand their environment, and make real-time decisions.
The NVIDIA Thor is a special AI box that allows you to run AI locally and also communicate with AI in the cloud. So some of the things I've heard is like a VLM, which is a video LM that allows you to take the video from these things and have it react to it just as it sees it?
Absolutely. That's part of what makes it so special, and that's what really makes it a practical robot. We do like to give it that ability so that it's able to work alongside humans and automate a lot of the repetitive tasks. That way you can free up your human capital to do more strategic operations.
Your company, RichTech, are you focused on industry or are you moving to homes or is it a little bit of everything?
So it's all business to business. It's really centered around three pillars. So the first is commercial. We talked about the stadiums, also restaurants, coffee shops, industrial, absolutely, manufacturing like Dex does. The third pillar of our business is the data part. These robots gather data out in the real world and also in our headquarters facility here in Las Vegas. We provide that data to some of the AI companies in Silicon Valley to be able to help refine their model.
Now, all of you at this point, I'm sure, are picturing robots, robot dogs, humanoid robots. But one of the biggest bots that many of us are going to interact with on a daily basis are cars. So for the folks who are listening to this from Maryland, one of the companies I was really excited to see is Waymo, who's coming to Baltimore in 2026. I had a chance to talk with their team. Here's a clip from our conversation.
Sandy, it's nice to meet you. I live in Baltimore, and I'm super excited that Waymo is coming to Baltimore. And I understand this is the vehicle that we might see on the road soon?
Yeah, thank you for stopping by the Waymo booth at CES. We are so excited to be bringing Waymo to more cities, including Baltimore, Washington, D.C. We're serving riders in five cities right now with this Jaguar I-Pace with the fifth generation Waymo driver on it. And yes, you'll be seeing the same exact vehicle around town.
My understanding is that you first do a little bit of training. So the car is going to ride around the city. We'll see them. And then a few months later, we'll be able to hail it with an app and use it.
We're not sharing timelines. We are beholden to safety. So we introduce the Waymo driver to new cities gradually. So we start by introducing and getting to know the city by driving around manually. Then we transition to autonomously driving with a human specialist present. And once we've validated our technology and our operations for that community, we'll begin driving fully autonomously and then open our doors to riders over time. So right now we're getting to know the Baltimore community. We're forming relationships with the community to understand what drives Baltimore and how we can best serve the community.
That other megatrend is this idea of longevity. And this is an increasing combination of life sciences and digital health devices like your watch, your ring, or your sleep trackers that are coming together to give you a better picture of your health in ways that were impossible before. This idea is simple. The better we are at tracking everything we do, what we eat, our blood pressure, our weight, our temperature, the better our early warning systems will become. And ultimately, this can not only help prevent major problems and diseases, but this could increase our longevity and position us to be here on this earth longer than before. I personally have high blood pressure, and I use a smart blood pressure cuff that allows me to keep track of my body's trends and also see some of the trends about my blood pressure over time using a mobile app. I saw the maker of this blood pressure cuff, Withings, and I couldn't wait to hear what other things they were working on and what stuff they had in the works.
This is BodyScan 2. It's the latest Nec Plus Ultra of our scales. We already have a big assortment of scales. It's way more than just a scale. It will give you more than 60 biomarkers at every weighing. Right. It performs a cardiometabolic assessment of your health at every weighing. One weighting is between 60 seconds and 90 seconds. Every morning, it can become one of your morning ritual to get your full scan.
What does metabolic health mean? What does that give you?
It's a biomarkers that you can regroup into cardiovascular and metabolic ones.
Okay.
We'll get your standing heart rate, your ECG. We perform an ECG on the scale. We also can measure the pumping efficiency of your heart, so how well your heart muscle is doing. We can also tell you whether you're starting to suffer from hypertension or not. That's one of the innovations that is part of BodyScan 2. It's the first scale in the world that is capable of doing that. Apple has implemented that.
With the EKG.
They paved the way.
The blood pressure cuff, is that different than that?
It is different. It's not the same purpose. On the scale, it's more on the screening size. We'll tell you whether you're starting to suffer from hypertension so that you can reverse it. You still have time to make a few changes in your life to adapt it and avoid the hypertension spikes. The blood pressure monitor is on the monitoring side.
Yes.
We are not replacing the cuff. The whole point is that you don't wait to feel symptoms before going to see a cardiologist, a nutritionist, or a medical expert. Mm-hmm. That's the mission of WeThings, is to provide the tools to people to yes. take care of their health in a proactive way, in a simple manner, through beautiful devices.
After seeing the scale, Luis showed me another product that would help me keep track of whether or not I was drinking enough water using, why don't you just listen? She'll explain.
So there's also the uro analysis, right?
Yes, we can go over there. It's a urine analyzer that you plug onto your toilet. It's very seamless.
What is this inside?
This is a reader, and inside of it is a cartridge. Every time you do your little business, it drops of urine are going to be collected on a little hole. It will go through the circle, like the cartridge, and it will change the color of one of the stripes. Mm. It works. There is a little embedded miniaturized camera inside of it that will tell you whether, for example, your hydro status is right or...
I have enough water today. Yes.
Exactly. We are commercializing two different cartridges. The first one that we launched was Nutrio. Mm-hmm. You could measure your bioacidity, your hydro status, as well as your specific gravity and your vitamin C levels. So those are the four biomarkers that it measures. Mm-hmm. Then we launched another cartridge that is called Calci, and that can be super helpful when it comes to like kidney stones. Okay. We are not able to diagnose kidney stones, but we're able to guide you through avoiding them.
One trend that I've been noticing in technology is that some of the biggest and most amazing steps happen from helping enable people with disabilities. And one of the big CES winners this year is a tech that allows facial muscles to control devices like a robotic arm or a computer. We spoke with Mark, the CEO of Naki Logic.
We're delighted to be here at CES, particularly this year, because we won top innovation in our category, accessibility and longevity. What we can do is we can control any digital device with an earbud. And we have sensors that are in the earbud that can detect EMG, which stands for electromyography. So every time you move a muscle, there's an electrical expression called EMG, and each expression is unique. So if you raise an eyebrow, you open your mouth, you clench your jaw, each of those movements creates a unique signature, which the sensors pick up. And then there's a Bluetooth feature in the earbud. Then effectively your face and your head can become a control pad.
I know there's Neuralink, which connects into your brain.
Unlike Neuralink, we're non-invasive. We can do everything that they can do non-invasively. I think that's an important distinction. Facial stuff is a little more discreet, a bit more intuitive, but we're in the same neighborhood.
So in this example, you use the earpiece to control a robotic arm, the facial expressions.
We call microfacial gestures. He's controlling that robotic arm with the earbud.
And using it, in this case, to feed himself or bring water.
Or to open a drawer, get something in the drawer.
All using earbud.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And last, we are what we eat. And there's a company called InstaFarm that's creating a vertical farming device that will allow restaurants to grow their own veggies and microgreens.
You take the greens, you take the trays, you put them in, and then around 7 days later, they can harvest the greens. This one can also do some full-size herbs like basil and others. You slide those trays in and then harvest.
Is the temperature different inside of here?
No, it is a little bit warmer inside of here. We use sensor technology to control the growing parameters.
It was mentioned to us that one of the ideas is a restaurant could use this to grow their own produce.
Yeah, that's right. The idea is to bring food closer to the source. Your average produce travels something like 1,000 miles from the farm to the restaurant. Now your restaurant becomes the farm. So you're able to grow it there and you get the super nutrient in it. Your produce loses up to 50% of its nutrition from just the transportation time.
How much does something like this cost?
So small one is a little bit over $300. The larger one is $6,500 for robotic setup and all that.
For a restaurant, how much can you produce in 7 days per tray?
You can produce about 5 trays per day of these larger trays here. So it's quite a bit for a restaurant to be able to produce a calculated 50% usage using half of the capacity. A restaurant can pay this off in about 8 months.
Before we go, I have one last thing. I got a special invite from LEGO to check out their new LEGO Smart Blocks. You wirelessly charge these bricks and shake them to activate them. Each brick is packed with all types of abilities, like the ability to sense movement or play sound and music like the birthday song or communicate with other bricks. They can also run mini programs by tapping special control bricks or putting a minifigure next to it. Here's a clip of our play session as a rep from LEGO activates Luke Skywalker and R2-D2 before they go on an adventure in the X-Wing fighter.
Of course. Now when I put the brick in there, it's gonna come to life. X-Wing ready. The moment I pick it up, I've got my X-Wing, I've got the engines, some shooting, so. Wow. The kids really come up with the stories here. These minifigures will not always have the same reaction, really allowing the kids to bring that imagination to life.
The new smart bricks are available for pre-order, and you can check out a longer video with more on how they work, as well as a pretty epic lightsaber battle. This is all on my YouTube page, which you can find in the links in the show notes. I'll also have some more details about this and my takeaways from CES in the next issue of our newsletter. This is Thoughts on Tech and Things. I'm Jason Michael Perry, and that's it for this week. If you got thoughts on today's show, questions, or ideas for future episodes, you can click the microphone in the WYPR app and leave us a message. You can also call our general listener phone number at 410-735-1616. Or you can always contact me at jasonandperry.com. New episodes drop every other Wednesday, and we've got some great conversations lined up. Thanks to the team at WYPR. Special shout out to the director of digital, Kyle Leslie, for making this whole CES thing happen. Our producers, Sam Burmes-Dawes and Shania Mapson, and of course, Perry Labs head of operations and marketing, Myrna Martinez. I'm Jason Michael Perry. This is Thoughts on Tech and Things, and I'll see you next time.